Psalm 37. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. So if you have that, you can follow with me. But I want everybody to have their Bibles ready. Is it ready? Open in Psalm 37. Verse 1 says, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make you your innocence radiant like a dawn, like the dawn. And the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Verse 9, for the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the godly. They snarl, however you say that word, at them in defiance. But the Lord just laughs, for he sees their day of judgment coming. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will rejoice. They will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. This is the promise of the Lord. Verse 20, but the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in the field. They will disappear like smoke. The wicked bow and never pay. We pay, but the godly are generous givers. Those the Lord blesses will possess the land, but those he curses will die. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Verse 24. Though they stumble. Oh man, this is not my sermon. I just want to read it, because there's so much in here. Though they stumble. I'm going to read verse 23 again. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I'm old. Maybe some of you are still young, but you will get old. But listen to this. Once I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned and their children begging for bread. The godly always gives generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, and you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly. He will keep them safe forever. But the children of the wicked will die. The godly will possess the land and will live there forever. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path. The wicked wait in ambush for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed and let the godly be condemned when they are put on trial. But put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. I have seen the wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But when I look again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. Look at those who are honest and good. For a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly, and he's their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. This is the word of the Lord. I tell you, read it again. This is like the fifth time I read this week. Every time I read it, I'm like, man, it's so much. I don't know why I read it to you. It wasn't part of my plan. But there you go. God bless you. So the title of my message this morning, I want to take this time to talk to you about the unforgotten God. Hey, I thank the Lord for what he's doing in our home groups. Seriously, I would encourage you, if you're not part of a home group, I know sometimes it's very difficult to drive at night. Maybe what I do in my cell group, I rotate it. I go from house to house. I do it at my house. I do it at Dave's. I do it at Foxy. I do it at, you know. So that way, we give everybody a chance to go at each other's house. I would encourage you to do this. You know, God doesn't want us to relate information about the Holy Spirit. And there's a book, man, I forgot to bring it. I was going to bring it with me, but there's two books I'm reading this week, this time. It is a book somebody gave me probably 10 years ago. The name is The Forgotten God, written by Francis Chan. If you guys don't know that book, please pick it up. And it's amazing. You know, this morning, some of you might think that calling the Holy Spirit the forgotten God is a bit extreme. But let me tell you this, there are a lot of people that don't even know that the Holy Spirit is God. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. This week I had we had somebody over at our house, and you know, just chatting, visiting, and the person just opened up, starting giving us their testimony. But something that really caught my attention, and I realized every Christian who encounters the Holy Spirit, their lives change. Mm-hmm. Now, let me repeat. Every Christian, listen, you repent from your sins. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you confess with your mouth that he is God and you need a Savior. That gives you the new birth. But the new birth happens by the Holy Spirit. I've said it to my cell leaders. I don't know if they've told you in your cell. If you're born once, you die twice. If we only born physically, then not only we will die physically, but we also will die spiritually. Okay? But then, if we are born twice, we only die once. Which, not a big deal, because death, the physical death, is a gain. This is not just my word. Paul said it. He knows what he's talking about. You know? When I die, that's why the focus should never be on this body. Kendra and I, we were talking the other day. I mean, it's like understand that my frame of reference, a lot of time, I mean, I grew up in a different culture than most of you guys. I know some of you were missionaries, and it's really good when you travel the world because you have a different perspective. You know, Dave, you travel, you know, you see, most of you guys, you've seen things. But in my culture, getting old, when you're older, it's honorable. But you know, what I'm seeing that's happening in this culture? Nobody wants to get old. It's like if you're old, they find a corner, they put you. When really, man, when you're getting old, you're wiser. Not most people are wiser, but if you learn from your mistakes, you gain wisdom. The crazy thing is when you have a stupid old person, when you shouldn't be. Because with age should come experience, and if you learn from your experience, good or bad, that should make you a wise person. And on top of it, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you love Jesus, if you're reading God's word, I tell you, you will be an old wise person. But I'm like, what's going on in this culture? Everybody wants to stay young. It doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how many plastic surgeries you try to have. I'd say work on getting a very healthy heart. Don't smoke. Don't, because it kills your liver. Is it your liver? Your lungs, excuse me. Okay, thank you very much. It kills your lungs. I think drinking alcohol kills your liver, right? All right, I was going to get there. All right. You know, so you do take care of yourself physically. Because when you are in old age, then you have a healthier body. You know, but all of us will die. This body shouldn't be the focus. I told you, you're born once. If you're born once, you die twice. But then, if by the grace of God, I receive the gospel and I understand this life, you know, this life, yeah, is very short, but it's not too short for you to, it's not so short I'm just going to enjoy and be merry and just enjoy my life. I tell you, 100 years on this earth, there's no way you can compare to eternity. And we have whatever time we have here on this earth, we have it to prepare eternity. So let's take advantage of that. So then to go back to my story, the guy said, you know, I used to do this, I used to do that, but then I met the Holy Spirit. Bang! The revelation. We cannot continue to do our lives without the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people hear about the Holy Spirit, they have their own weird opinion about the Holy Spirit. That's why I believe when I read the Bible, the best person that can teach us about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. When you read the gospel, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I tell you, let me repeat it again. The problem is we have fallen away from the word of God. I say us preacher. I tell you, me, I'll never compromise the gospel. I'll never compromise the good news. I'll never preach to make people happy. No, it doesn't work. The word of God is very offensive. I mean, every time I read the word of God, I'm being rebuked. I'm being challenged. When you read the gospel, you meet Jesus. And then when you meet Jesus, Jesus tells you, hey, I must go. I must go. So it's to advantage that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send you the parakletos, which is the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor. That's what it says. You know, like I said, a lot of people would think that's very extreme to call the Holy Spirit the forgotten God. For years, we've tried to do church without the Holy Spirit. I tell you, you know what makes me excited about church? The Holy Spirit, not people. Not people. It's not people. It's not people. What makes me excited? It's the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. That boils my heart. It's like there's an excitement. That's why we sing, freedom reign in this place. When you come here, feel free to raise up your hands. Feel free to shout hallelujah. Feel free to be amen. Feel free to jump. Some of you, I know your knees might not allow it. But there is freedom in the Holy Spirit. There is joy in the Holy Spirit. We cannot continue to do it without Him. You know, maybe some of you in here might agree that the church has focused too much their attention on elsewhere. For example, I know a lot of churches, they focus a lot on trying to bring people in, trying to create a program to bring families together. Let me tell you a story. I mean, it's a very unfortunate story, but you know what? All the glory to Jesus. There was a guy who went to a church, of course, and he was the pastor, but then he had what they call kind of the mega church mentality. Not all mega church are bad. Please, that's not what I'm saying. I know most of them are doing the work of the kingdom. You know, God bless them. But there are also a lot of them that their focus are not right. Because then they become consumer-minded. You know, so, or people pleaser. Yes, thank you, sir. So then this guy, he went to the church. The church was probably about this size, but then the building looked a little old. You know, the building wasn't really appealing. So therefore, I think he only had maybe 35 people, which is awesome, man. 35 people, let's read the word. Because when we dwell in the word, we dwell in the presence. I tell you, I want, when the Lord comes, I want Him to tell me, well done, faithful servant. You did good with 10 people. I want on, you know, those 10 people. If I'm responsible for you, that's why we're coming up. It's coming. I told you this already. It's coming. I'm committed to you as your pastor. Are you committed to me? We're going to reinforce membership. I'm committed to you, but are you committed to me? Do we have a commitment? You know, so I want the Lord to be like, hey, good, you did good. You are faithful with these people who I entrusted you. So the guy came up, the new pastor, he came up with an idea. We're going to sell our building. And then some of the elders like, why? He said, well, it's too old. I'm going to go downtown and we're going to rent another building. We're going to rent some kind of a theater. Well, some people actually left the church for that. Not too many, maybe one or two of the elders left. So he sold the church for a couple hundred thousand. And then he went and rent a facility downtown. Because he wanted to attract a younger crowd and make things look appealing. Unfortunately, things didn't work out. Rent the theater, spent an extra, however much the contract was, and then he spent an extra $60,000 to remodel it. I mean, we hope it would have worked. $20,000 were spent in flyers and advertising, and then the grand opening was getting ready to take place. Nobody showed up. You know how disappointed that is? You know how heartbreaking that is? And then unfortunately, that ministry didn't really survive. That building, I should say, didn't survive. Things didn't survive for long. And before you know it, they fold, and all that money was. Xavier, can you please put my picture on the screen? Guys, our focus is on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit brings life. The Holy Spirit is the glue. That's why I told you, never focus, never put your eyes on the amount of people that show up here on Sunday. You never take the temperature of a church on Sunday morning. A healthy, to see, ah, you're healthy. No. You never check out, see if a church is healthy on Sunday morning. You know, when do you check if a church is healthy? Through the week. In cell groups. You know, in prayer meeting. You know, like in Bible study. You know, because only those that are hungry would come. Now, this picture, we're going to change. We soon need to change our light bulb. But guys, when you look at this, what do you see? Oh, man. These guys, let's imagine, you know, I'm thinking that might be a good idea, actually, to a kind of good, crazy idea to build something like that with square wheels and then having ways to build two of them and see, you know. You know how difficult that is? A lot of times, that's how we try to do church. These guys, they won't make it far. They can't. It's impossible. It is impossible. That's why, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is strategically neglected and for all practical purposes forgotten. Because we don't want to give him room. We don't want to give him space. You may notice that I put a lot of emphasis on giving room and giving space. Back in October, we had a conference about the hosting the presence. I never forget that. What PK taught us about the presence of the Holy Spirit. You give him room, you give him space. Now, we're not talking about give the Holy Spirit his space, his personal space. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about give the Holy Spirit room in your heart. Amen. Give the Holy Spirit space in your life. Invite him in. 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 Yes, invite him in. Give him room to do his work in your life. You see, when you invite in him, when you invite him in, he's the Spirit of truth. What will he do? He will reveal to you the truth. Because he's the Spirit of light, he will reveal to you the light. That's why us as a church, as a congregation, when we are following the Holy Spirit, guess what we're going to guess what's going to happen to us. I'm sorry, I talk too much, too fast when I'm excited. I need to slow down. When, I'm trying, guys, because I know sometimes I talk too fast for some of you. But when we are following the Holy Spirit, because he's the Spirit of truth, because he's the Spirit of light, guess what will happen? We'll never stumble in lies. We will always stay on the course of truth. And it's the same thing for your life, not only a congregation. When I'm following the Holy Spirit as a Christian, when I have darkness in my life, the light of the Holy Spirit will shine. And I know. And guess what will happen to me? I will repent. And I will grow from glory to glory. People stumble. People, they deal with addiction. They, you know, they always, you know, messing with sin because they're not giving the Holy Spirit a chance. Or even if the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, they're not listening. I want you to keep this picture in your mind. And I'll email it to you this week. Because it is a good reminder not to try life like this. Don't try your Christian life like this. You know, and I tell you, while no evangelical would deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, I am almost willing to bet that millions of churchgoers across the world cannot confidently say that they have experienced the Holy Spirit in their life. Let's say if I would ask you personally, when was the last time you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? How did you, don't have to answer, but just write that down in your notes. When was the last time I experienced the Holy Spirit in my life? Because the problem is, I was talking Monday night, we were talking in Bernie's cell. A lot of people, they have this weird conception about the Holy Spirit, especially if they don't understand the difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled in the Holy Spirit, or having the Holy Spirit in them. See, now if you go to cell, you know this is the discussion we're having in cell. I might come back on Sunday morning and do some stuff with them, just talk about it a little bit more. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit is not the spirit of the devil. He doesn't come and possess you. Now, I've seen voodoo, okay? Where I grew up, I've seen voodoo. I've seen evil spirit. I've seen demons. I know the difference between the Holy Spirit and the dirty spirit. The spirit of Satan, when it comes, it possesses people. It makes you do crazy things. You see, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't possess you where you lose control. It is a gentle spirit. You might be filled with the Holy Spirit, or there might be a moment there is an overflow of the Holy Spirit, and you're just laughing. You're just laughing, what they call the holy laugh. Oh, some of you might be bouncing. And sometimes some people, they fall in the spirit. But you know what? Even when they fall in the spirit, the Holy Spirit is not going to, don't want to harm you. So if someone is possessed with, if filled with the Holy Spirit and they gotten hurt, check out. See, maybe your emotion is mixed in all this. Because sometimes in the presence of God, what do you feel? You feel saturated with His presence. And what do we have? A good spot, right? Now I tell you, because you don't have good spot, that doesn't mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. When you hear somebody talking about their good spot, don't feel bad. Because what they're feeling is just mixed with their emotion, and therefore the physical body, what happened? The physical body has good spot. Hallelujah. Yes. Some people do this. Some other people don't do that. And that's why, depending on your character or your manner or, you know, what type of person you are, you might not want to act like that. You're like, man, this, I don't want that. Oh, man. And so therefore, that creates a wall for you to be like, no, I don't want the Holy Spirit. It's misconception. And unfortunately, you have charismatic people that are not trained. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit does nothing that brings shame to the name of Jesus Christ. Everything He does, glorify Father. Everything He does, glorify Jesus Christ. So, I'm inviting the worship team to come up. I'm going to continue. But guys, I'm inviting you to just open up your heart and, you know, just receive. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, I pray as we continue to talk about the Holy Spirit, as we continue to give Him room and space in our everyday life, in our cell groups, in our marriages, in our relationship with people at work. Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself to us and baptize our hearts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in our midst. Thank you for the freedom. And today, as we maybe sing one song or two, I'm encouraging each one of you here, just open up your heart. Maybe ask God to just refresh the spirit in you. You know, ask Him to renew His spirit in you. You know what we want to do? I'm very intentional about the season we are in. I want you to start being excited about, you know, wanting more. I want more. Yes, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want more of His everyday touch in my life. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father.
Let's stand.